It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, did you catch that very subtle edit that WWE did on SmackDown when they paid tribute to superstar Billy Graham? Did anybody catch the edit? Caught it right away. Because the Wednesday Night Dynamite episode that's on DonTony.com, the first opening clip of the show was a vintage Billy Graham promo. And they featured it on the SmackDown tribute. And they closed the tribute with a little line. And it was something that was edited out. If you go back and watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Billy Graham, when he did his promos, he would say, on occasion, what you see is what you get, and what you don't see is better yet. They actually edited out the second word, see, yesterday. No joke. So if you go back and you watch it, you'll hear him say, what you see is what you get, and what you don't is better yet. Because the sentence before that line is for the, you know, directed towards the women. Get it? Like, what you see is what you get, and what you don't see, you know, insinuating. I think that's a little tacky. Come on, man. You know, in this day and age, you edit out one word. Oh, give me a break. But hey, they paid tribute. And that's what matters at the end of the day. I tell you, I am very, very happy at the level of tribute that is going around for Billy Graham. And look, on YouTube, you get all those bot videos that will, you know, bait you into clicking this and clicking that. And they just look at the ad revenue. But, you know, leaving work yesterday, I'm listening to a local radio station, 1010 Winds News, and they talked for a good minute about superstar Billy Graham. I was like, whoa, that's pretty damn cool. And then, you know, you see some of the entertainment outlets. I was watching an entertainment show last night on regular TV, and they paid tribute to Billy Graham. Listen, I could go on and on and on, and I'd rather you all tune into the legends, let them tell you how much superstar Billy Graham meant to the industry. You know, personally, yeah, had a lot of issues, burned a lot of bridges. Anybody that goes back with me many years, remember when we covered his issues with Chris Jericho? That was creepy at that time. I mean, but listen, 79 years old, as I said Wednesday, and I'll repeat it here. You know, I saw people, you know, due to generic wrestling news sites, we are saddened by the tragic death. You live to be almost 80, and the life that superstar lived, I don't consider that tragic. I mean, it sucks the way he went out. A lot of infections, loss of hearing, complications from diabetes, congestive heart failure, everything was failing. That man lived almost to 80. And you see what that guy did in his lifetime. Jesus. I'll be happy if I live to be in my 70s. Rest in peace, superstar Billy Graham. Rest in peace. By the way, I know there's a lot of you out there that don't like Dave Meltzer. But Dave Meltzer put up a really, really in-depth, nice tribute to superstar Billy Graham on his newsletter online. Go check it out. It's actually worth a read. It is really, really well done. So, and you know, speaking of Meltzer and Alvarez, Wade Keller, we could go on and on and on with the journalists. My friends, I think I succeeded Wednesday preparing you for the 7 days of nonsensical bullshit that was going to take place online about CM Punk. in AEW. The idea that this building is paid for and reserved, and this building is on hold, and if this happens and this doesn't happen, and, you know, the best part about it is, you know, Ace Steel has become the center of all of their reasoning for saying all this nonsensical bullshit. And the greatest thing about it is, if you go back maybe, what, 2 weeks ago, remember the meeting that we covered and a lot of places covered, Fightful reported and others, that CM Punk met with Jericho in Florida with Tony Khan and some other people? In that report, they talked about Ace Steel returning in some capacity. I'm not going to get into what everybody has done since Wednesday, but I will say this, straight and to the point. These journalists have succeeded about making this story about Collision and CM Punk. They've succeeded in making the story about them. About them. Who could get the most exposure? Now Wade Keller. Oh, I talked to people in AEW. And what was the line? That there's a lot of people in AEW would be happy if CM Punk just goes away. Oh, go fuck yourself. Seriously. Warner Brothers Discovery just inked a deal with AEW to have Collision. And whether CM Punk is on it or CM Punk is not on it, Collision still goes on. Everything you've seen since Wednesday is a big disrespectful fuck you to the AEW roster. They have decided to make Collision all or nothing about CM Punk. They have made that debut show in Chicago, June 17th, all about Punk or nothing. Well, guess what? June 24th, Collision takes place. June 30th, or that Thursday, June 29th, Collision takes place. July 8th, it takes place. The 15th, the 22nd. Collision is not about one person, one episode, one location. And these journalists that have done that, not all. I want to make that clear. But the ones who have done that since Wednesday, I prepped you Wednesday. Just like for 2 weeks, I prepped you. The billion-dollar announcement that was never made. The billion-dollar announcement that never happened. Why is it that we're the only ones that knew that for weeks and weeks and weeks? Actually, you know what? Mike Johnson, and I've warmed up on Mike Johnson. I don't like criticize him anymore, but I personally think he did a little bit of a pussy move this week. I don't know if you caught it, but Mike Johnson reported on Thursday morning that, my sources tell me that there was never a plan for a TV deal announcement, TV extension, money, years for Dynamite and Warner Brothers up front in Madison Square Garden. You waited until Thursday, where you could have put that out there 2 fucking weeks ago. You know why you waited till Thursday? Because the little troll was more concerned about posting it early and then being wrong. So once the upfronts happened and there was no announcement, we were told all along there was never going to be an announcement. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. All of this shit that's going on with Collision is all about these journalists. It's all about anti-Punk. And it's a big fuck you to the AEW roster. And a lot of them don't even realize that they are disrespecting an entire roster, the company, everything about it. But don't worry, everyone. By this Wednesday, the 24th of May, that will stop. It'll stop. So, how is everybody doing this weekend? I am a little under the weather. I posted on social media. I started the keto diet again on Wednesday. Today is day 4. And it's only 4 days, and, you know, I'm fine as far as following it. But I'm now dealing what is called the keto flu. I'm not going to get into specific details of what my bathroom life has been in the last 2 days, but I am not feeling well at all right now. So if I'm a little bit extra like cranky today, that's probably the reason why. But it's all good because within, I'm hoping, a day or two, you know, the flu will go away and then we'll be back to business. Now, for those that are interested, we got two special episodes coming up. First of all, Sunday night at 8:05 p.m. Oh, disregard that date. Wrong plug. This is the right plug. 8:05 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, the 21st of May, we're going to do a sit-down episode, and it's going to be pretty much everything but wrestling. So we're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about social issues. We're going to talk about all the shit that's going on in the world, anything that you want to talk about, even personal stuff, you know, because that's something that keeps being brought up by a lot of you with feedback. Like, hey, you know, there's a lot of wrestling shows out there, but, you know, they don't basically take the time and talk about real shit. Just wrestling or nothing. Wrestling or nothing. So we'll do it tomorrow for one night. We'll see what happens. It might be an epic fail. It might end up being the beginning of something awesome. Also, Tuesday night, it'll be online around midnight. Kevin Castle and yours truly will be doing Night of Predictions. Night of Predictions. Night of Champions Predictions. And if there's enough demand, maybe I'll convince Kev to do a recap and review the following week. And now I want to segue into some big news that originally was planned for Night of Champions. You have not seen the reports yet, but the reports will come out. We teased it on Monday because it was more of just the sausage sense than anything else. But my friends, you know, this is what happens when journalists try to tease stuff, but they won't just come out and make the claims because they're so petrified of being wrong. Last Monday, when Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler attacked Raquel Rodriguez, you know, we talked about it last Monday that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler more than likely are going to Saudi Arabia. And they're going to dethrone Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for those tag titles if Liv Morgan is able to compete. We had no idea the extent of Liv Morgan's injury. And there is no secret, Saudi Arabia loves their Ronda Rousey. Fucking loves their Ronda Rousey. They love their Brock Lesnar. They love their Undertaker. They love their nostalgia. Last year was Lita. This year it's Trish. So, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, start preparing yourself, everyone. They are going to be your next women's tag team champions. I will be shocked to shit. And I'd be shocked if they're not your next tag team champions. The question now is, do they get rowdy in Saudi or do they score on Raw? And now it looks like they will score on Raw. And the reason being is because WWE is not going to bring four sets of tag teams to Saudi Arabia to do a new champion. Yes, Night of Champions. Not every championship is being defended. Everybody talks about Roman Reigns. Well, Austin Theory is not defending his championship. The women's tag team titles are not being defended. Not every title is being defended at Night of Champions because there are a lot of belts. And they want to focus on quality and length than quantity. We don't need a pay-per-view premium live event with 12 matches. You give us 6-7 solid matches and we're good. We're good. So they have decided, and this is big news, they have decided that, let me pull it up, let me give you the official announcement. Due to Liv Morgan's injury, Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan have relinquished, they have vacated the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. A new champion will be crowned on the May 29th episode of Monday Night Raw. They have decided against the idea of Raquel Rodriguez defending the championships by herself in Saudi Arabia against Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. So what they have decided to do instead is have a match on Raw. Now, there is still the possibility of Ronda Rousey performing in Saudi Arabia. I don't think so anymore because, again, it's Night of Champions. Yes, Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar are not currently champions. That is a special attraction. It is a co-main event. WWE is going to start promoting this as a double main event or a triple main event. Brock and Cody is the main event in Saudi Arabia. The tag team title match is a main event in Saudi Arabia. The World Heavyweight Championship tournament final is a main event in Saudi Arabia. They just want to make all three feel equal. So they're going to you're going to see pushing triple main event, triple main event, triple main event. Now with Ronda Rousey, you know, not fighting for a championship really doesn't make sense to bring it to Saudi Arabia, in my opinion. You know, because then you get the mockery, you know, like, why are they calling it Night of Champions? Isn't it just a regular premium live event? I mean, not every match is being defended a championship, and there's a lot of titles that are not on the line. So that's why it's not happening. Now, would you like a little spoiler? It's not a match spoiler, but I will show you. I don't think anybody will object. If anybody objects, post it in the chat, and I will not give it to you. All right? I have on the screen right now four tag teams. These are the four teams that will fight for the right to become your next WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. You have Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. You have Bayley and Io Sky. You have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. And you have Raquel Rodriguez and a mystery partner. Would everybody like to know who her mystery partner is going to be? And I'll give everybody a chance. Dakota Kai is hurt. She will be out of action temporarily. And WWE has decided to have Bayley and Io Sky team up. Expect more miscommunication. Expect more miscommunication between the two. And that will ultimately lead to the falling out, the turn on Io Sky. So, look, I don't know who's going to win the tag team titles. In my opinion, there's only one team that should get it, and that's Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. And I'm going all in that they are going to win it. Shotzi Blackheart is going to be Raquel's tag team partner. I'm not going to give you spoilers of the outcomes of SmackDown that was taped for this coming Friday. But if you remember a week or so ago, I told you, it's kind of a reminder. Every year WWE does it. When they go to Saudi Arabia, they will tape the next SmackDown in advance because they don't hold SmackDown live in Saudi Arabia. So every year that extra SmackDown is taped, and this coming Friday SmackDown, which will be the 26th of May, it was taped. I will tell you the lineup, the matches. I won't tell you the outcomes, though. But Raquel Rodriguez teams up with Shotzi Blackheart. They take on Bayley and Io Sky. So on the heels of Night of Champions and then Raw, the following night, you will have the women's tag team title match. So when you look at the semantics of it, Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi will wrestle on Friday the 26th. Couple of days later on Raw, they will try to win the women's tag team championships. I personally don't see Shotzi Blackheart and Raquel Rodriguez winning the tag titles. I absolutely do not see Bayley and Io Sky winning the tag titles. They need to screw up, and Bayley either needs to screw up or Bayley's going to get upset at Io Sky for not doing something she was supposed to do. They got to further that split storyline. Having them win the tag titles, even for a temporary amount of time, a very short amount of time, is not the way to go with this. And nothing against Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, but they're more right now best utilized is just being annoying and then getting their asses kicked, especially Chelsea Green. You know, that's where they're best right now. I'm not saying that they won't win gold down the line. But right now, complaining, you know, getting, you know, opportunities simply because of complaining, you know, just getting under people's skin and getting their ass kicked. That's how you use them right now. So Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler. In less than 2 weeks, they will become your next women's tag team champions. And again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Hey, you know, wrestling, the beauty about wrestling is not always knowing what the outcome is going to be. To me, that's when wrestling is at its best. When you really don't know who is going to win a match, that is where the most excitement is. You know, unless a feud is so good that you know who's going to win. Hey, Cody. You know, people still think that, you know, with the Cody stuff. By the way, you know, we have to address two important things. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. All right. Because both of them may be clashing in the very near future. Let me give you the truth about some fake news going around right now. Seth Rollins is currently on the movie set filming Captain America New World Order. Okay? It's not a big deal. Seth Rollins is not going to Hollywood. Seth Rollins will get some roles here and there, but he is currently filming for Captain America New World Order. Filming with his stuff is going to wrap up this week. So what WWE decided to do for the 2 weeks leading into Night of Champions is do pre-recorded interview segments between him and Corey Graves. This Friday, SmackDown is recorded. Seth Rollins' promo interview this Monday is recorded. It's not a big deal, everyone. The article that is floating around that is 100% false and clickbait is concern over Seth Rollins and Hollywood. And I'm going to read you what, this way when you see it pop up, you just ignore it. But it says, this is what everybody's running with. The concern whether these kinds of movie roles are going to be commonplace for Seth Rollins, which would mean similar situations where he won't be present at WWE shows. The whole premise of announcing a new World Heavyweight Championship was that the winner would wrestle full-time, unlike WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns. If Rollins wins and then ends up with more movie roles, it would kind of make the point moot about Seth. They didn't use the word moot. They don't even know what the fuck it means. They think it's just a misspelled cow sound. But it would be kind of defeating the point of the premise of the World Heavyweight Championship if Seth is not there full time. Because of this, here's the magic L-Y word, everyone. Because of this, there is reportedly hesitancy within WWE regarding the idea of Rollins winning the title. Go fuck yourself, whoever wrote that. There is no concern whatsoever. Plus, any movie roles that Seth Rollins does, WWE has to okay it and clear it. Seth Rollins is not going to show up and say, hey, guys, listen, I know we got blah, 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 blah. We're going to go to blah, 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 blah stand in October, but you know what? I'm going to do Jackass 9. No, that's not how it operates. These people that are trying to make it sound like that Seth Rollins, if he gets more of these movie roles, that they can't put the oh, fuck you. Seth Rollins is winning this championship. Period. That's it. This is WWE's answer to people complaining that they're not pulling the trigger fast enough with some storylines. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, them winning the championships was always the destination of WrestleMania. Them main eventing night one, winning the championships was always the destination. But along the way, people like, oh, Sami should have won the heavyweight title. Sami should be fighting in the three-way at Mania. Sami this. And, you know, even that felt a little bit dragged on. Remember, we expected Kevin Owens to join up with Sami Zayn about a month and a half before they actually did. And people are like, what are they waiting for? And they didn't do it. Then Roman Reigns was, everybody, including me, most people expected him to lose to Cody at WrestleMania. Finish the story. Story big ending. Finish the story. Nope. Scenic route. Hasn't happened yet. So people are getting a little bit tired, like, okay, give us direction. Give us clarity. Cody Rhodes has always given you clarity. Finish the story. Finish the destination. Finish the story. Finish the story. The story has not changed. The destination has not changed. You don't need to be reminded every week in a Cody Rhodes promo that he is going to ultimately get back at Roman Reigns and take those titles. He doesn't need to tell you every week. You don't need reassurance, you know? So Seth Rollins winning this championship, yes, very organized, very predictable, and very much the right decision to do. The storyline is not necessarily who's going to win, it's how the person handles that championship. And Seth Rollins is going to put so much prestige. Seth Rollins is going to be the focal point of Monday Night Raw. He is going to be the number one. He already is the number one guy on Monday Night Raw. I know some people say Cody Rhodes as well, but Seth Rollins really will be considered the guy on Monday Night Raw. He's not going to be an afterthought to Cody Rhodes. So you're not going to take that and then have AJ Styles up. You know, AJ Styles just coming back from an injury. AJ Styles, the SmackDown is the house that AJ Styles built. You're not throwing that all away just so AJ Styles could have a surprising victory at Night of Champions. Don't overthink it, everyone. So that article is nonsense. Another article, another story going around, which is common sense. It's not even a story, but we got to talk about it, is Drew McIntyre. There's a lot of places talking about that. Oh, Drew McIntyre, it's just a matter of creative. Now it's just a matter of bringing him back to TV. Oh, no fucking shit. When he took time off from WrestleMania, it was to nurse bumps, bruises, some injuries, aches. People decide to make it really controversial and talk about contract. Yeah, I'm sure Drew McIntyre is still very disappointed that he did not win the World Heavyweight Championship at Clash at the Castle. But that is not the be-all, end-all. The guy gets paid very, very well in WWE, and his contract is up in 2024. And understand this, with injury, you know, WWE will add on extra time, you know, because of that contract. So his contract is not going to end as soon as people believe it's going to end. Right now, we have to wait for other stories to pan out. Did anybody ever think about the possibility that Drew McIntyre may attack Cody Rhodes? Possible. But Drew McIntyre right now, bringing him back to TV, whether he feuds with Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship, which I honestly don't know if I want that. And the reason why I don't know if I want that is because of something that I said for the last 2 weeks. Seth Rollins wins this championship. How would you all react if he loses the title in 4 months? How would you all react if he loses the title even in 6 months? You don't think that the loudest noise on the internet is going to keep silent and not say, oh, look what they did for Roman Reigns, and he didn't even have the title for a year. WWE's kind of put themselves in a bad situation, so now Seth Rollins has to hold this title for a long time. He has to, because if he drops that championship in a short amount of time, it's going to consider an epic failure. Oh, you see, nothing has changed with Seth Rollins. Ah, Vince is back. That's what you'll hear. So Drew McIntyre feuding with Seth Rollins, we kind of know who's going to come out on top with the gold in that feud. So I kind of prefer Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes. Now, for people that are going to say, well, DT, how do you explain Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes? Well, same idea with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman shook hands with Imperium. Paul Heyman shook hands with Judgment Day. Paul Heyman could shake hands with Drew McIntyre. We just may not know about it right away. We may not know about it right away. Think about this. You know, Brock was a legendary huge foe of Roman Reigns. So was Drew McIntyre. So if Paul Heyman is working out promises, remember, you know, Paul, tell him, Tell him what you promised me. Remember what we talked about with Brock Lesnar? Could say the same thing for Drew McIntyre. That maybe Paul Heyman promises Drew McIntyre another championship opportunity if you take out Cody Rhodes. You know, seed planting. Now, I don't work in the offices, so although what I'm saying may sound like a beautiful idea, makes total sense in the world, and it kind of would be pretty freaking unexpected and cool. They're the ones that make the final calls and the decisions. But the Brock Lesnar one is pretty much that is going in that direction, because sooner or later they're going to address why Brock Lesnar tried to take out Cody Rhodes. You're not going to wait months just for Brock to say, because I felt like it. So, anyway, I don't think Drew McIntyre needs a Money in the Bank briefcase. I think whoever wins that Money in the Bank briefcase is somebody that has got to get the unexpected, amazing, unbelievable crowd pop. You know, a lot of people are focused on LA Knight. There's rumored somebody put out the other day. By the way, I'm not Boozer. I know I mentioned this on another episode earlier in the week. I got to mention it here for those that do tune into the other episode. A lot of the shit that I have been putting out there since August, you know, ultimately, like weeks later, months later, gets put out by somebody by the name of Boozer. And I'm getting more and more emails and DMs saying, come on, DT, admit it, you're Boozer. No, I'm not Boozer. I don't fucking tease stuff. Plus, that guy gets a lot more shit wrong because they don't know what. It's like an alcoholic. They don't know when to say when. You know, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. Oh, you see, this is going to happen. The best was, oh, yeah, yeah, no, no, big TV deal, billion-dollar TV deal is going to take place at the upfronts. Billion-dollar, no, it's done. It's a done deal, billion-dollar. And then no billion-dollar deal. I thought you said there was going to be this major, huge TV deal. Yeah, it was AEW Collision. Oh, yeah, okay. Like Mercedes and AEW, and, you know, we could go on and on and on. The third person in the Royal Rumble match is going to be a major surprise. So, yeah, Google the word Boozer. Boozer, B-O-O-Z-E-R. It's a guy on a message board that, you know, cooks sausage. That's all he is. He cooks sausage. And because he, on the message board, you know, sometimes gets it right, people think that he's this huge insider. He's just a fan that cooks sausage. When we were cooking sausage last year, I did that, and we continue to do that to prove a point that you really, if you pay attention and you're smart enough and you understand how the companies operate, you can figure it out. Here's a great example. LA Knight and Rick Boogs. I didn't even want to play it. It's 45 seconds from Monday. But maybe I will, because I got the cue anyway. You remember a week or two ago, tons and tons of places, podcast sites, news, all losing their shit about LA Knight getting a tag team partner. And people are venting and cursing, and they're like, what the fuck are they doing with LA Knight? They're giving him a tag team partner. What the fuck are they going to do with Rick Boogs? This is going to be an oddball team, and people are losing their shit. And on Monday's show, I said, guys, it's simply to set up a match for SmackDown. That's all it was. I'm not going to play the clip. You can tune into Monday's show. You could hear it. That's all it was. And they were going to lose. LA Knight's going to lay out Rick Boogs because he failed. That's all it was. There's no controversy. Rick Boogs having a feud with LA Knight, I don't know how long that'll last. They do face each other on this Friday, SmackDown, by the way. But that's all it was. It was just to set up a match for SmackDown. There was no plans for Rick Boogs and LA Knight to be a steady tag team for the foreseeable future because they don't know what the fuck to do with LA Knight and this and that. It was nonsense. And they proved it on SmackDown yesterday. I mean, you know, again, if you pay attention and you see, you know, you can figure out half this stuff on your own. So yesterday with SmackDown. It opens up with the Bloodline. Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman come out. No Usos. Roman takes the mic from Paul Heyman, and he is greeted with "You suck" chants. And Roman says, "That's not how we start things off here. Columbia, acknowledge me." Fans start chanting Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn comes out. Kevin Owens comes out. And Roman Reigns is like, "Great. You know, I was going to have you guys come out here anyway. I want you to acknowledge the tribal chief, and then you could drop the tag team titles on the way out." So Kevin Owens, he's about to cut a promo. Instead, he just drops the titles, gets in Solo Sikoa's face. "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the one that fight Owens fight. You know, fight, fight, fight." So he Roman Reigns mocks Kevin Owens a little bit. And Roman Reigns then focuses on Sami Zayn. Roman reminds us that he's had a special career with a lot of highs and some lows. And the biggest low of his career was wasting time on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn grabs the mic, and his biggest regret is not smashing Roman Reigns with the chair sooner. And he brings up Montreal, brings up the Elimination Chamber, that we haven't faced each other, you know, since then. But now we're facing each other. It's going to happen in Night of Champions. And you're not as good as us. And you're not as good as the Usos. More seed planting. That maybe Sami Zayn ultimately may get through to the Usos a little bit about Roman Reigns being drunk on power. So Roman Reigns gets on the mic, and he starts talking about how he took out Sami Zayn, but before he could finish what he's saying, here comes the Usos, and they lay out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And the Usos want acknowledgement. They thought they did a good thing. They expect Roman Reigns to be happy. Roman Reigns is pissed the fuck off. "This is my ring. Nobody told you to do this. I didn't tell you to come out here and do this. We had one plan and you ruined it." So as Roman Reigns is about to exit the ring, he accidentally bumps into Solo Sikoa. And, you know, it's like one of those hood videos you see on Twitter. You know, like the binge watching that I see everybody doing now is just watching people beat the fuck out of each other in the streets. And unfortunately, a lot of these videos are black on white, white on black violence, or women beating the fuck out of each other. I mean, you see that? I mean, people are just fascinated about it. Meanwhile, our country is getting all fucked up even more. And people want to grab the popcorn. Yeah, until it comes to your neighborhood. But, you know, the Usos, they think they did a good thing. So Roman goes to storm off, and he bumps into Solo Sikoa. Little bump. Again, it's like one of those hood videos. Like you're on the train, you accidentally bump into something. "No, excuse me." "Yeah, no problem." Now it's excuse me. Boom, 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 boom. Kick, 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 kick. Let me live stream it on TikTok. So Roman just lightly taps Solo Sikoa, and Solo Sikoa looks like, "The fuck you just do?" Roman looks a little bit concerned, leaves the ring anyway. We come back from a break, and the Usos are in the back. Jey Uso is apologizing to Roman Reigns, and Roman is still pissed off. He had something specifically to say to Sami Zayn. "You gave that fool a year of his life," and Roman couldn't say what he wanted to say because the Usos decided to do what they wanted to do and not what is best for the Bloodline. Roman says he is the guy, he makes the choices, tells the Usos to get out, get out. So they leave. And while you're watching this segment, you got to look at Paul Heyman in the back. I don't have any championship titles that I can hold right now. I'll use this tool bag. But in the back, Paul's like just holding the title like a baby. And he's just looking. It's fucking, when you watch these segments for a little added fun, just focus on Paul Heyman and you'll crack up. Pretty funny shit, man. Funny shit. Pretty Deadly over the Brawling Brutes. Sheamus is on commentary. Pretty Deadly you know, doing what they do great in NXT, now on the main roster. Really, really good back and forth match. Crowd was into it. Again, you know, you see other wrestlers graduating from NXT. You see people getting re-signed and brought back, and they get a debut match or a return match, and the crowd is just totally indifferent about it. Indifference is the worst reaction. And that crowd loved that match yesterday. And Pretty Deadly, you know, being snakes in the grass, and, you know, you had Elton Prince tied up in the ropes, and the referee's distracted. And Elton Prince, you know, frees himself, double teams Ridge Holland, and then he ties himself back into the ropes. That is so old school, man. And then Ridge Holland is pinned. And the referee, you know, Kip Wilson's literally, I mean, Elton Prince is literally just like, help me get out of these ropes, like really selling it like he's tied into the ropes. Andre used to do that really well. Andre, if you ever see, like, he would do these, I mean, he would get himself tied in the ropes and you really thought that motherfucker ain't getting out. And it would be funny when people would, like, punch Andre. Like, they punch him in his stomach, but his stomach is so big, like, it just wouldn't move. You're just like, yeah, they did. But that was a fun match yesterday. Sheamus on commentary, not too thrilled about the outcome. That would actually come into play a little bit later on. Michael Cole pays tribute, along with WWE superstar Billy Graham's passing. We see that little video package, which was nice. I mean, you do realize, and we've had this conversation before, news media does it, the entertainment world does it, WWE does it. They have vignettes, they have segments already in the tank for wrestlers who will die. They just have to sometimes update it, especially if it's a wrestler that is still active in some capacity. That superstar Billy Graham package that you saw on SmackDown, a majority of it was recorded years ago, from the person doing the commentary to even the clips. That's why if you saw it, like, the best they could do is show us clips from 2004, Mean Gene Okerlund, Dusty Rhodes, John Cena, Triple H, and they were good clips. But it shows you they put this in the tank probably over 10 years ago. But you don't know when the person's going to pass. You know, I don't want to name any other living wrestlers, but they have videos 95% done already for a lot of wrestlers who are still alive today. And when it's time for them to pass, they reload it, add a little finishing touches, put the graphic of when they died, and, you know, you might get lucky and get, like, somebody saying something that was recorded in the last year or two. Remember Superstar? Okay, here's a good one. Kayfabe Commentaries did a great shoot interview with Superstar Billy Graham about 1977 and 1978. And I've watched it before. They just put it back up on YouTube because Billy Graham passed. And I remember he was talking and talked about, you know, going back to WWE, you know, not too long ago and recording like a couple of hours of interviews. They were bringing up other wrestlers and this and that, and they have all this content recorded with Superstar Billy Graham talking about others. So when a tribute video comes out, whether it's a documentary or if it's designed for a package when somebody passes, you will see this pop up and come out of the bag. So a lot of what you saw, that was recorded many, 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 many moons ago. It's just saved for until the time comes for somebody. Believe me, some wrestlers that are very young, in their 30s and 40s, they got videos made up for them as well. I know that sounds awful, but it's true. You know, luckily for those guys and gals, you know, once they pass their 30s and 40s and they actually, or better yet, their 20s and 30s, and then they have another 10 years of a career, they have plenty of time to redo it and put more contemporary footage on it. See, with Billy Graham, your footage is from the 70s to the late 80s. You know, that's really it. I mean, there's no reason you don't, and the Hall of Fame. That's it. You don't have to, you don't have to show him hanging out with Sheamus or Hogan, you know, several years ago. No, you just bring up 70s, 80s, Hall of Fame, done. Asuka defeats Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega cuts a promo before the match. She's in the back. She proved in Puerto Rico that she belongs, and she's going to show to everyone why she is ready for Asuka. Well, you know Zelina Vega had no chance of defeating Asuka, but this was a competitive match. Zelina Vega held her own. You know, the 619, you know, it gets a little corny because when wrestlers that don't, you know, normally get stuck in the ropes, you know, do it suddenly to get hit for 619. Like, they just, like, they're near the side of the apron, and they just conveniently drop, like, a sack of potatoes on the middle rope. You know, it's a little goofy, but Zelina Vega to 619, Meteora, but ultimately Asuka makes her tap out. She puts her in the Asuka lock. After the match is over, she continues a little bit of a beatdown. Bianca Belair's music hits. Bianca comes in to make the save. Asuka about to spit the green mist once again to Bianca. But this time, Bianca is prepared for it. And we head into, well, they do have another segment on Friday SmackDown. I will tell you that. I'll give you the preview for SmackDown, non-spoiler, in a few minutes. Grayson Waller effect with AJ Styles. This got mixed reviews. And I'm sure Grayson Waller was very, very nervous. Very nervous. Grayson Waller is AJ Styles. They have history with NXT. And Grayson Waller is talking about Night of Champions. And he recalls their time in NXT with AJ Styles. He says that AJ Styles been phenomenal for 20 years, first ballot Hall of Famer. What would it mean to you, AJ, if you win the title? And, you know, like, you're expecting Grayson Waller, okay, Grace, you know, now you got to act like a dick. It was a little too, you know, like, calm for Grayson Waller, like, not getting under your skin enough. Even after when Grayson Waller predicted who wins at Night of Champions. But AJ Styles talks about how he's been out of the ring for several months. The longest time that he's been out of the ring due to injury is an entire career. And he trained to return harder than anyone else. And when he got this opportunity to possibly go for the World Heavyweight Championship, not only did he jump at it, but he wants this title more than he wants to breathe air. I mean, really selling how much he wants this championship. And like I said, you know, I said this last week. I said it with Seth Rollins 2 weeks ago. I had no problem with SmackDown wrestlers being in this tournament because we had a banger with Sheamus and AJ and Ray. Edge, AJ and Ray. And then you had Sheamus and Lashley and Austin Theory. Those were matches we probably would not have gotten because of this. And AJ shows, look, I'm a SmackDown guy, but why would I not want a World Heavyweight Championship? You know, it's not a token title. It's the opportunity to become a World Heavyweight Champion. Of course, you get a jump on that. So after AJ gives, you know, his argument of why he's been training hard. He even brings up that Seth Rollins is currently doing a movie and I'm training and I'm going to become World Heavyweight Champion. And Grayson Waller says, that just gave me goosebumps. You felt like that Grayson Waller was a little bit too serious about this, but he ultimately predicts that the winner at Night of Champions will be Seth freaking Rollins. And then Waller and AJ have a little stare down, music's playing. I don't know, something fell flat with this. I don't know if Grayson Waller needed to show that level of respect towards AJ Styles. I know that sounds kind of dumb, but if you followed Grayson Waller in NXT, you know, he was much more of an instigator, much more of a prick. And I'm not comparing old school to new school, but when you look at vintage Roddy Piper stuff and you look at vintage stuff with Jesse Ventura, you look at vintage interview segments, they don't give that much, that level of respect towards the person that they're talking to. Yes, in this day and age, the heel always has to give a little bit of props to the baby face that they're talking to. But Grayson Waller yesterday, I think, might have done it a little bit too much. Hey, it's his first appearance doing a Grayson Waller effect on SmackDown. It's not going to be the last. So, you know, but it did kind of fall flat yesterday. LWO's in the back predicting victory, why they will defeat the Usos. Street Profits over LA Knight and Rick Boogs. Rick Boogs is booging it up. Booging out, I think it was. They say Boogalicious Knights. Not good. Anyway, LA Knight comes out first. That he's going for gold and the tag titles are included in that. And he's got to go through the Street Profits to continue, and he could beat the Street Profits with anyone, and that's why he's bringing out Rick Boogs. Rick Boogs coming out. I watch him, and every time I see him, it's like if Freddie Mercury, like, hung out with superstar Billy Graham back in the 70s and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the gym. I mean, that's kind of, I think, what would have happened. I'm not kidding. It's kind of like Freddie Mercury meets, like, Ted Arcidi or something. But, you know, he's interacting with the fans, and, you know, he's got the flex thing, and LA Knight is looking at him like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know, like, all right, let's win this match. They have the match, and Rick Boogs going full-blown 80s. Wow. Forgive me with that one. I just brought up Freddie Mercury, and I said full-blown 80s. He went retro 80s. I know. That's just the way it just sounded. It's like, if you know how Freddie Mercury passed, you know why I'm saying that. So Rick Boogs going all 80s, you know, like an 80s wrestler. The only thing I didn't like was, you know, when he picked up Montez Ford, and he's pressing him 10 times. Instead of body slamming him, he like dumps him back into the corner. And, you know, I just thought like, all right, that's a little too goofy. And he's curling Angelo Dawkins, and he's showing off his strength. But ultimately, in the end, we get a miscommunication. Rick Boogs charges after Montez Ford. Ford gets out of Dodge, and Rick Boogs accidentally knocks LA Knight off the apron. Montez Ford takes him down, hits the sky high, gets the pin, and after the match is over, LA Knight showing like, hey, you know, better luck next time. We'll get him again, and this and that. And you know what's going to happen. We talked about it on Monday. Boogs is going to lose. LA Knight's going to tease like, all right, no big deal, and then he's going to lay him out. And that's exactly what he did. He laid him out, and this leads to LA Knight versus Rick Boogs on SmackDown. Cameron Grimes in the back talking about how it's unbelievable that his debut on SmackDown is in the record books as one of the shortest matches in the history of WWE. He feels like he's living a dream and he wants to go straight to the top. No. I don't want to just go straight to the top, Megan Morant. I want to go to the moon. And the crowd didn't. I guess a lot of them don't watch NXT. Because I expected a lot of people, you know, hear that noise. To the moon. It was very, very polite. I think a lot of people wasn't expecting it. But that sets up a match for Cameron Grimes Friday as well. Karrion Kross. They got to get rid of the tarot cards. We've talked about this before. Got to get rid of the tarot cards. Cuts awesome promo. Great in the ring. But burn those tarot cards. Seriously. Make, you know, those houses out of the tarot cards. You know, get rid of them. it's not helping his character at all. It's actually backfiring over and over and over again. Yesterday, we see a segment. He's in the back, and he's talking about, you know, his next opponent, and he's looking at Scarlett, this and that. My doorbell's ringing. Gotta, too bad. He whips out a tarot card of AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is next as a victim. Didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all. And I saw moments ago, Rain Entertainment with this $5 super chat. Thank you, Rain. What do we do with Karrion Kross? Is it simply a matter of his character not translating with the casual audience or typical WWE negligence? Much love, DT. Thank you very much, Rain. It's very hard to be intimidating when you lose. He had the tarot card for Drew McIntyre. Ultimately, Drew McIntyre came out on top. He had the tarot card for Shinsuke very recently. Shinsuke came out on top. He will have a match with AJ Styles. I don't want to give any inkling as far as what happens in that match. Personally, though, the tarot cards, let me say it like this. Let me tell you why I would get rid of the tarot cards. This is not a knock on Karrion Kross, but I honestly think everybody will agree with me when I say this. The tarot cards are a cheap way out creatively to book matches for Karrion Kross. Instead of having an altercation, yeah, and listen, we've had altercation before. Remember the parking lot with Kross? It's, yeah, I'm not saying that he doesn't have them. But the tarot cards, specifically, the tarot cards are the cheap way out of giving Karrion Kross a feud and a match. Okay, blah, 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 blah. You know, all right, WWE creative. You know, who should we put Karrion Kross against next? You know what, let's do, he works well with Shinsuke and their friends. Why, let's do Shinsuke. All right, well, how do we explain, like, Shinsuke and Karrion Kross? Now, if this was the Attitude Era, I'd be like, do you speak English? TikTok. Do you understand TikTok? I would, you know, it's stupid shit, but something, anything. No, it's like, now I only have AEW cards in front of me, but look, ooh, look, you know, TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. Look, Karrion Kross. Oh, I know how we could get him to face Shinsuke. Let's make up a tarot card with Shinsuke on it, and he happens to be the luck of the draw. TikTok. All right. That was a great fucking match. All right, now we got to progress further. Let's do AJ Styles. Maybe AJ Styles could, you know, have a confrontation with Karrion Kross, and AJ's like, hey, you know, you thought you were going to get past Shinsuke. Shinsuke's a very close friend of mine. Don't make fun of Shinsuke. Could have cut a promo about Shinsuke. Even though Shinsuke's on Raw now, could have still cut a promo, said some nasty things about Shinsuke, and AJ Styles could show up and say, hey, that's my friend. You know, I know he's on Raw now, but how's about you face me instead? I know it's stupid. I don't work a creative. Pay me to work a creative. Give me a financial. I'll come up with something good. No, somebody, I got an idea. Let's make a tarot card for AJ Styles. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Scarlett. Blah, blah, blah. TikTok. TikTok. And then what is it next week? Oh, we're gonna revisit Sheamus. TikTok. You know what he's got to do? He's got to pull out the card, and the card's got to show Karrion Kross on it. I got to be careful because I have inserts over here that I haven't put on eBay yet. I don't want to throw an insert around. There's some pretty expensive cards on this table just collecting dust. But that's what it is. The tarot cards are a cheap way out to creatively book Karrion Kross. No, you know, confrontation, no promo exchange, no this, just, all right, we want to put this person against Kross. But how do we explain that, oh, TikTok, TikTok, and they show a tarot card? Again, this is not a knock on Karrion Kross at all. Zero. Get rid of the fucking tarot cards. By getting rid of the tarot cards, now WWE Creative has to think a little bit. What are you going to do next? I don't have it anymore. What are you going to do? Like lotto balls? You can have him spin around the lotto balls and he pulls one out of the paper? Oh, TikTok, TikTok. Stop with the random picking of things. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I know what some people are going to say. Well, DT, he's not randomly taking a set of WWE tarot cards and just saying, hey, pick a card, any card. Ooh, look, coffee. No, that's not how it's being done, but that's how it's coming across on TV. It feels very fucking random. This is the storyline. For people that think I don't know, the storyline is that Karrion Kross is targeting Shinsuke. So he gets a tarot card. Shinsuke, you're next. TikTok. Fails. Now, Karrion Kross wants AJ Styles. Karrion Kross makes up a tarot card. Allen, TikTok. So that's what the story is. But on TV, we ain't stupid. We know creatively WWE, this is their cheap way out of trying to explain AJ Styles taking on Karrion Kross. And then what? More tarot cards? Get rid of the tarot cards. Austin is like, I like your TikTok. That's how he said TikTok. I could do his whole promo, but I won't. I won't. Thank you, Rain, once again. So, Friday, this coming Friday, we will get AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. Austin Theory enters the ring. Austin Theory live. Sheamus comes out. Austin Theory has a little bit in common with Sheamus. They both beat John Cena. They both beat Bobby Lashley, this and that. Austin Theory a little too cocky on how, you know, he handled himself against Sheamus and Bobby Lashley, and Sheamus decides to hit him with a big bro kick. Set up a match on SmackDown. They will fight this Friday on SmackDown. The Usos are backstage warming up for their match against Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio. Paul Heyman walks up and says, Roman Reigns forgives you. But Roman Reigns will not be ringside with you tonight. And what ends up happening, is this the first victory for Santos Escobar under the LWO banner? I didn't look, but it sure feels that way. Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio defeat the Usos to main event SmackDown. Excellent match. Crowd is loving it. This is awesome. 619s, attempted 619s, Usos doing what they do. Santos Escobar. I don't know, anybody notice? I'll tell you about two people right now. Santos Escobar and CM Punk. I know it's random. If you pay attention to both of their physiques very closely, Santos Escobar has probably put on at least 10 pounds of muscle. CM Punk as well. CM Punk, pay attention to his arms. He just did that video talking about that weird social behavior we played on Wednesday. Go look at some of the clips of CM Punk very recently. That guy has been working out big time. He's probably put on 5 to 10 pounds of muscle since the last time we saw him. And yeah, rightfully so, he's recovering from an injury, but the man has been going nuts in the gym. Santos Escobar as well. So what ends up happening yesterday? Rey Mysterio attempts a 619, but Jimmy Uso stops it, hits him with a kick. Rey Mysterio is about to get hit with the double splash from the Usos. And here comes Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens comes down the rampway. And here comes Sami Zayn, knocks one of the Usos off of the rope. I think it was Jimmy Uso. And then Rey Mysterio leaps off the apron onto Jey Uso. Santos Escobar with the top rope splash onto Jimmy Uso for the pin. And as we go off the air, we see Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman in the back. They're looking at the monitor, and they see the Usos all upset in defeat. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn smiling. Solo Sikoa is about to get up to insinuate that he's going to go out there and take care of business, and Roman Reigns, don't worry about it. We'll get him Night of Champions. And Roman looks pissed, looks concerned, looks frustrated, and we see what happens with Night of Champions. Now, look, Tuesday, Kevin and I will be doing predictions. I will tell you right now, I personally, and I kind of brought this up before, ain't no chance Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa winning those tag titles. The Usos probably will cost them the titles, and that will lead likely to the match between the Usos, Solo Sikoa, and Roman Reigns. Don't know if they'll do that for SummerSlam, but it's definitely a possibility. But right now, no shot. No shot whatsoever winning those tag team titles. I know people are teasing it, and some people out there truly think there's going to be a title change. I don't see that coming at all. Not at all. One other match on SmackDown that I just want to mention quickly. It really was not, you know, that big of a deal. But, you know, it's good now because of the fact that the women's tag team championships are currently vacant. But Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they wrestled a very quick match, beating Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. And right now, they're the only women's tag team champions on the main roster. They look good, quick match, and I liked that they faced two other women in NXT. Very quick match, but showcased enough where they look like they belong. Again, this idea of a unification match, no. Especially if it's Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, no, 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 no. Ultimately, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn will be defending those titles on an NXT episode. When WWE is ready for another tag team to take the reign as NXT tag team champions, that's when you'll see Alba Fire and Isla Dawn lose those championships. It could happen at Battleground. I heard that they may be doing the Great American Bash on July 4th, which I think lands on a Tuesday. July 4th. I'll tell you right now if it lands on a Tuesday. July 4th lands on a Tuesday. Might get the Great American Bash on the 4th of July. So when they are ready to take those NXT women's tag titles off of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they will defend on an NXT card, and they will lose it. They may not lose it the first time around, because I think it might be a little too predictable if they did. That's why I'm kind of glad that they did not lose to Katana Chance and Kayden Carter. You know, when they fought the NXT episode right after the draft was completed. So, Nero Faye with a sick spot. You're the man, DT. Thank you, Nero. Thank you. I hope everything is well. You know, I read from afar what's going on in Israel, and, you know, I don't know in our lifetime if we're ever going to, you know, see, you know, what we look to see, but that doesn't mean that you don't stop the fight. You know, I do see a lot of good things coming out of that area of the world. You know, it's just here in the United States, there's so much shit going on right now. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm sure people are going to bring it up on Sunday, tomorrow's episode. So whatever you guys bring up, that's what we're going to talk about. You want to talk about Bud Light? You want to talk about the Walmart shit going on in California? The TikTok videos now of people running into elderly people on the streets and stealing their dogs and running away, going into random people's. It's crazy. And the worst thing about it is it's always happened. It's happened even when I was a kid. But the thing now is everybody is becoming an internet celebrity as a result, licking ice cream in a supermarket, putting it back on the shelf. You know, people have been doing that for decades, but now everybody realizes, hey, I could record myself doing it, put it online, and I'm a celebrity. It's a weird shit going on, man. Weird shit. So anyway, this Friday, non-spoiler, AJ Styles will wrestle Karrion Kross. Rick Boogs will take on LA Knight. Cameron Grimes will wrestle Ashante Adonis. Raquel Rodriguez will team up with Shotzi Blackheart to take on Io Sky and Bayley. And Sheamus will wrestle Austin Theory for the United States Championship. We will have two in-ring segments, one with Asuka and Bianca Belair, and the other one will feature the Bloodline, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. What members of the Bloodline, I will not tell you. You have to tune into SmackDown. But, a little confusion. SmackDown Friday airs at 8 p.m. Eastern. Well, Well, 8 hours earlier, they will somehow be teleported to Saudi Arabia because at 12 noon on WWE's social media platforms, from Instagram to Facebook to Twitter, I think YouTube as well, they will be doing the Night of Champions press conference. They have advertised Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Mustafa Ali, Gunther, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Cody Rhodes. Triple H will be there as well. I don't think we will see Vince McMahon on camera for a few people that asked earlier, but we will get the Night of Champions press conference live Friday at 12 noon, and then 8 hours later, it will be SmackDown. So, couple other news tidbits, and we are going to jet out of here. Couple of things quickly about AEW and Impact Wrestling. Okay, definitely have to bring this up. We got bad news again, everyone. We got bad news. Trinity had her first in-ring match on Impact against Kylan King. I saw the match. The match was fucking great. Trinity pulling out moves that you never really saw her do in WWE. Unfortunately, the rating, let me just say it like this, to say it nicely, because I root for Impact Wrestling, if you notice, if you haven't noticed. I really want to see them turn the corner. Trinity's debut only broke 100,000 viewers, barely broke 100,000 viewers. Her debut on Impact, that was heavily advertised, was less than the following week. Last week, Impact with Trinity on, and listen, she's only on one segment. I don't want anybody to think like, oh, you know, how many people do you expect to tune in? It's not about just having people watch Trinity's match. It's about people that, hey, you know, this show's pretty good. You know, let me watch the whole show. It's not that long. Last week, it did 115,000 viewers. This week, I don't have the number yet, but what I do know is that It went down significantly. And the demo that everybody loves to, focus on demos. Let me put it this way. AEW this week on the demo did like 0.28. That is 14 times more than Impact Wrestling's demo. The demo this past week for Impact Wrestling, the 18 to 49, is either 0.02 or less. So their rating may not have even broke 100,000 viewers this week. This is Trinity's first 3 weeks on Impact Wrestling. Why can they not get even 10%, 20% added viewers to stick around? You know, wasn't that, listen, we're not talking 5-10 years ago where viewing habits change, and 10 years ago we didn't have this and we didn't have that, and people watched this at their leisure. That, you know, it was only a little more than 2 years ago with Tessa Blanchard, and I'm not saying that Tessa Blanchard was the be-all, end-all with good ratings. They were doing low to mid-twos. And you had Kenny Omega as their champion, which I think fucked up Impact Wrestling big time, because it showed, it sent a message to the Impact Wrestling fans that our own roster is not capable of holding our championship. We need to have an AEW wrestler hold it and hold it for a very long period of time just to have it lost to another AEW wrestler, and that was Christian Cage. Oh, no, but Christian's back with Impact Wrestling. Yeah. How long did that last? They can't even break 120,000 viewers with all the hype of Trinity. That's kind of mind-boggling, to be honest with you. Let me tell you something else. AEW this week did 800. What did they do? They did 800 and... Somebody get me the number AJ, for Impact Wrestling this week. They did somewhere in the low eights. Oh, I got it. 814. Impact Wrestling didn't even break 110,000 viewers this week, and AEW barely broke 814. And when you look at the quarter hours, the Don Callis announced, you know, the promo and Hangman Page return and everything, it was the second lowest rating in the entire night. The quarter hour with Tony Khan's announcement and the Outcasts was the lowest rating of the entire night. 8:14. And people are like, oh, well, it was basketball. I got news for you. Chicago Fire on NBC did a better rating than the NBA this past Wednesday. NBA didn't even break 6 million viewers. So please spare me with, well, the rating went down 15, 18% because it was basketball on. Basketball was on when wrestling was doing 10 times that rating back in the day. Yes, back then you either watched TV or you didn't. Plain and simple, I get it. But the fact is that, you know, how do you explain a million viewers when there's basketball on? You know, it's just the bottom line is that a lot of your fans are choosing something else than watching your product live. When AEW does a strong number, 1 million, 1 million, 2 million, I don't ever see NBA, NHL, Chicago Fire, politics, TV shows saying, well, you know, wrestling was on. Our numbers weren't all that good because wrestling was on last night. That All Elite Wrestling. Nobody makes an excuse for their... The only people that make excuse for dismal numbers are wrestling fans. Ever noticed that? You never see any basketball, baseball, hockey, politics, Survivor, Chicago Fire, CSI, ASI, STD. You don't ever see anybody making, oh, WWE was on yesterday. Only wrestling fans do that shit. It's getting a little annoying, to be honest with you. Fight Forever. There's a rumored on sale date, June 27th. Fightful put that out there. I will tell you that the origin that came from was an international video game website that has where you could pre-order the game and it will be shipped out June 27th. Everybody from Amazon to Walmart and everyone else still has December 31st, 2023 as their on sale date. There's nothing else online to back up the June 27th date. Personally, that is a Tuesday. And if I was AEW, I would have the video game go on sale either on a Wednesday or on a Thursday or Friday. You announce it that the game will be on sale tomorrow or Friday. Or this is a very random date to choose June 27th. I personally don't think that date will stick. But when I get more news, I will let you know. The best news about this, though, is the game is getting close to being released. That game is getting very close to being released, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, Rampage yesterday, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn over Ari Daivari, Josh Woods, and Tony Nese. Jade Cargill beat Danny B. After the match was over, Taya Valkyrie issues the rematch challenge. They will be fighting again at Double or Nothing this time. Dustin Rhodes over Bishop Khan. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta over Best Friends and Bandito. Now, some matches have been announced for Double or Nothing as a result of what went down on Rampage. They have finally... Somebody pointed out to me that it's since Thanksgiving that they have been doing the Keith Lee, Swerve Strickland stuff. Was it Thanksgiving when they were doing the fucking... That seems too far away. But they've been waiting that long to have them two go at it. But they finally had that confrontation on Rampage. They haven't made the announcement yet, but a lot of people think we are going to see Swerve Strickland versus Keith Lee or a possible tag match happen at Double or Nothing. MJF versus Sammy, Jack Perry, and Darby Allin for the heavyweight championship. FTR defending the tag titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Wardlow taking on Christian, a ladder match for the TNT title. Orange Cassidy will be defending his All-Atlantic, well, international championship in a blackjack battle royal, 21 participants. The only names announced so far with him is Aaron Solo, Powerhouse Hobbs, and QT Marshall. He's supposed to fight against Kyle Fletcher on Wednesday. I don't expect a title change. Don't be surprised. You'll see some New Japan guys added to this battle royal. Jamie Hayter will defend the AEW Women's Championship against Tony Storm. We got the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite Anarchy in the Arena. Jay Cargill will defend the TBS Women's Championship or TBS Championship against Taya Valkyrie. You know, I was just thinking about this. You think AEW would dare have Jay Cargill drop the title to a guy? Do you think they would introduce Jay Cargill wrestling men? I think that could happen. Because the TBS championship, they never used the term women with it. I just wanted to throw it out there, not to cause controversy, but if you notice, they never call it the TBS women's championship. I think in the spirit of China, in the spirit of, you know, even Tessa Blanchard and some others, I think Jay Cargill one day may turn around and say, you know what? I've beaten all the women here. Yeah, they're not going to have Britt Baker come out and this and that. And I know there's some names that, you know, it's weird how Jay Cargill never crosses paths with them. But I wonder if she says, you know, I'm a little tired. I want a new challenge. Any guy in the back wants to face me. And then have her beat up some guys. I'm telling you, Jay Cargill versus men. I wonder if that happens. Not tomorrow, but I wonder down the line if we get Jay Cargill versus men. No, I don't think we'll get Jay Cargill versus Wardlow. I think that would be a little bit of a disaster. I would pay to see Jade Cargill versus James Ellsworth. Because James Ellsworth was pushing, wasn't he pushing the Intergender Championship a while back? I have her beat the fuck out of him. And guess what? I think he would do the job. No questions asked. If he got paid. The only thing is with James Ellsworth, there's been a little controversy. You know, it's been a few years since the controversy, but still not good controversy to have. So the Firm of Ethan Page, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn will be taking on the Hardy Party. And the stipulation is, I think if the Hardy Party wins, doesn't Matt Hardy now own the contract of Ethan Page? So the Firm getting smaller and smaller. We had the Firm deletion. We have Big Bill and Lee Moriarty no longer part of the group. Now it's down to a few. And maybe I think one... Now, I know people are sick of the contracts, but hey... I'd rather have some storyline with Matt Hardy and Ethan Page than none at all. And Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho will be an unsanctioned match, as we expected. Now, people are reporting they're going to do a contract signing on Wednesday. I don't believe it's going to be a contract signing. How do you sign a contract for an unsanctioned match? I think what they should sign are like hold harmless agreements. That AEW drafts up legal papers that they are not responsible what happens in the match between Chris Jericho and Adam Cole. We'll supply a referee, but maybe they should do a special guest referee. I don't think they will because we're only a week away. That would be kind of, you know, cutting it close. But have them sign hold harmless agreements. If you don't know what a hold harmless agreement is, Google it. I'm not going to start explaining it right now. But you know, easiest way I can... is AEW is not responsible if anything happens to either one of the guys. So, all right. I think we are done. I'm looking down my list. Oh, I do have one other thing. It's a little sad. I don't want to end on a Debbie Downer, but keep Jerry Lawler in your prayers. He is having still a rough go trying to recover from the stroke. Jim Ross was on his podcast and he talked to Jerry Lawler and he says, and this is a statement from Jim Ross, I talked to Jerry Lawler just the other day. He's still struggling with his health.
He's got good doctors, and they think that they have identified many of the issues, but he's not out of the woods yet in terms of achieving a good level of health. As always, when we talk, his voice starts off a little weak, then it gets stronger as he talks, and we laugh and we tell stories with each other. I'm not trying to speculate, but I now have had two customers since November this happened too. And a lot of it mirrors Jerry Lawler. I had two customers that have had strokes in the last 6-7 months. And it led to heart surgery. And remember, Jerry Lawler, didn't he have a heart attack many, many years ago? And I have a feeling that his heart may be one of the main issues here. Because in the case of two of my customers from my office, and they're not related to each other, they don't even know each other, but almost the same thing happened. One caught a stroke. Somebody saw them collapse and got them to the hospital quickly. Another one was passed out on the floor in their house, and the guy's sister happened to be coming over to drop off some food, and she found him on the floor. I mean, how amazing is that, that she just happened to show up, bringing him some cooked food, finds her brother on the floor. The guy's in his 70s. But he was in the hospital for about a month, came home, slurred speech, very weak, very tired, frail. And then it led to him having open heart surgery, had to get, you know, a bypass. So when Jim Ross says that the doctors feel that they have figured out what's caught, I wonder if Jerry Lawler's heart is becoming an issue again. I don't think he ever returns to the ring. I mean, even if he recovers from this stroke, I think Jerry Lawler's in-ring career is over. Jerry Lawler could be celebrated and utilized in wrestling so much more than having matches. You know, he loves wrestling, though. Believe me, it's not just about paydays, because I know a few people who have booked Jerry Lawler, even, you know, in recent years, and the amount of money that he requested is not a lot. Not a lot. And I know you're going to say, well, you're getting 70-something-year-old Jerry Lawler. You're not getting even 50-year-old Jerry Lawler. No. No, it's more of like, I don't want to make it sound so simple, but cover the expenses, you know, take care of this, give me that, and I'm good. You know, his demands were not crazy. So, yeah, I agree. His quality of life is much more important. So we say a prayer for Jerry Lawler that he could get through this. Whatever they have to do, they got to do it. Plus, I'm trying, guys. I have gotten quite a few messages about this. I can't seem to get an update about Barry Windham. None. And you got to be a little careful about it, because you don't want to pry into the family. You know what I mean? But I talked to someone who is very, very good friends with Bray Wyatt. And I said, you know, any update about Barry Windham? No, I haven't heard anything. Does Bray bring him up at all? No, he doesn't bring him up much at all. I said, well, if you hear anything, you know, let me know. I said, even if, you know, you know, it's something that I shouldn't make public. I said, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, he's okay. And he's like, yeah, if I hear anything, and nothing. They're extremely tight-lipped about Barry Windham's situation. I hope Barry Windham is doing much better. Bray Wyatt, we may actually see sooner than you think. Not saying sooner as the Raw after Night of Champions, but, you know, apparently they're starting to plan, you know, Bray Wyatt coming back soon. Everybody thinks it's going to be with Alexa Bliss, but I'm not so sure. Alexa Bliss, I hope she returns soon as well, but I'm going to jet out of here. We got into 90 minutes, which I think is more than enough for tonight. Once again, you are all welcome to join me Sunday night at 8:05 p.m. for the sit-down. Again, we're going to focus on everything but wrestling. I'm sure a wrestling topic will sneak in. You know, we're all wrestling fans at the end of the day, so if we got to talk about something wrestling-related, we will. But, you know, whatever you want to talk about tomorrow, you know, outside of that, anything that's going on, you know, that you want to just let out or, you know, just have a conversation about, things that are going on in the world, my thoughts on things, you know, I don't mind talking about it. You know, there's a lot of people that are very, very afraid to give their views. You know, I see right now, oh boy, Dutch Mantel is getting killed online because, you know, his comments thinking that there's no longer like KKK. I shouldn't say that. That he feels they're not the threat that they were back, you know, decades ago. And, you know, you open that rabbit hole and, boy, you see Disco Inferno getting a lot of heat online. And, you know, it's just, it's not healthy. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what you guys want to talk about tomorrow. And then don't forget, on Tuesday, Kevin and I will be recording your Night of Champions predictions. And, yeah, we got some interesting things to talk about with that. So hopefully Monday they add another match. Because right now, the lineup, we have right now 5 matches. Cody versus Brock. Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns, Gunther versus Mustafa Ali and Bianca Belair versus Asuka. 5. I think one or two matches are in order here. I think you got to add one or two. So hopefully we get an added match. Unfortunately, because of Liv Morgan's injury, they chose against having the four-way for the women's tag titles there, and they definitely were against Raquel Rodriguez defending it on her own. Yesterday on SmackDown, she teased that. She had a backstage segment with Dakota Kai with Io Sky and Bayley, and Raquel Rodriguez is like, I'll defend the titles myself. But they are stripped of the titles, and she wishes Liv Morgan speedy recovery, and, you know, she gets well soon. And unfortunately, Raquel Rodriguez was not going to be able to defend the titles on her own. So, hey, shit happens, everyone. Injuries happen. So, all right, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you haven't checked it out yet, on DonTony.com, Wednesday Night Dynamite's episode this Wednesday is a must. We get into everything about AEW Collision, the CM Punk. You know, we sift out all the bullshit, get into the real news. We talk about the $1 billion deal that was not announced. We talk about when it will be announced, because it will. I don't know if it'll be $1 billion. They're not going to throw numbers out there like you're signing an NBA player to an extension. But we got into some very, very important topics Wednesday. I was very proud with Wednesday's show because I really think, you know, we really cleared up a lot of misnomers and addressed, you know, a lot of the legit news, and also prepared everyone of what has transpired the last 48 hours plus with the news media towards CM Punk. Absolutely awful and not unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. But go check it out, and I will catch you all again soon. Be well. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.